Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank you for each one here today. I want to thank you, Father, for the messages and the hymns, Father, that get embedded in our heart and that we reflect on, that we learn from. And I pray, Father, that you would just help each one of us walk away with what you have for us today. And I pray that you will be glorified in it. Father, for all those that are not here today, Father, I pray that you, dear Holy Spirit, would just bless them by your presence. May they be aware of you and your love and your care and protection over them. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So the title of the message today is Be Still and Know God. When working with the kids, that's why I was shaking the tambourine and trying to have them pass the message down. And sometimes there's too much noise, you really can't hear. And the message gets convoluted. And you have to get it by yourself to be able to hear instruction from God and have that still voice that calms our soul. And we need that because we're living in a time period where there's a lot of noise. There's always been noise, but there's a lot of noise now. No matter where we look, no matter what we see, there's something going on that is affronting the values of God and His Word. And the harm, the pain, the suffering, the immorality, all the things that we see in the world around us is heartbreaking, in particular for believers in Christ. I'm not saying that non-believers aren't heartbroken for the pain and all the suffering that the world has today, but I am saying that for Christians in particular, our hearts break down much more because we think about individual souls, we think about whether they're saved or not, we think about whether they're going to heaven, we think about their relationship with God, and whether they have comfort from God or not, these types of things. The war in Ukraine is very scary for all of us. We've all heard it where they've not just hinted, but even showed concern that, you know, if it goes the wrong way, it could step into World War III. Nuclear warfare could be a part of it. Things could change dramatically around the world. And I thought all the Ukrainians and the dramatic things that they are going through, you know, having, story after story, but, you know, this one young lady, she's, I lost all my family, I lost my home, I lost all my possessions, I have nothing, and she walked by herself, and she has no one to go to, she goes, I don't know what I'm going to do. Can you imagine everything being stripped from you? And I've been praying that God would touch their hearts to direct their hearts toward God. And I hope that with the Gideons and their ministries there and the Bibles that have been sent there and the different groups of believers within Ukraine, that I hope and pray there are many that are saved, that have the assurance and comfort of God being in control, holding their hands and giving them comfort and assurance and reality in the face of the threat of death as they are facing the things they're facing. So with the many natural disasters that we have and the economic problems that we have, crime on the rise, political and social unrest, it's easy to say, we agree, people are on edge. Are we not? We're thinking, you know, there's a certain rumbling inside that's just uneasy because we see all of this happening. We have to take that to God. We have to lift it up to the Lord. We have to listen to the comfort of the Holy Spirit and His counsel for us so that we can walk with confidence and calmness and assurance as pillars of light and salt in the world of darkness, because people that don't know Christ have no hope, have no security, have no comfort, have no counsel from the Lord, have no even assurance that if they die that they're going to go to heaven. But you and I do. And so we need to be a strong people in Christ, standing up for Him. And so the world has become a very chaotic and scary place. And frankly, it's become a place that I think that many of us would never have imagined. You know, in the 70s, I remember, as they talked about, you know, nuclear warfare, it was like, oh yeah, right. You know, it's something that can be a reality that would be very, very devastating, to say the least. The world is full of noise, and the noise can block out, the devil can use that noise to block out God's voice to us as God's people. We can get so focused and so alarmed and so wrapped up on all the stuff that if we're not cautious and taking the time to listen to our Lord and Savior to help navigate us through that uneasiness, us through the realities that are around us, so that we can stand as his people. So we need to be careful that we don't block out God's voice, or that we don't hear fragmented pieces and maybe even get wrong counsel. But we need to be clear on what God wants us to do. So with all that in mind, I want us to look today at Psalm 46. It's a song written by the sons of Korah. It's set in the context of a catastrophic chaos, troublesome times, much like what you and I are experiencing today. And commentators believe that the setting of Psalm 46 comes from the time of King Hezekiah, who was surrounded by the army of Sennacherib, king of Assyria, which was a vicious army. So we can kind of relate that to the Russian government, to Putin and the army, right? We don't have to equate that to the Russian people, but to the military forces and the things that Putin, President Putin, is doing, that it's kind of paralleled to the king of Assyria, a very vicious, very heartless enemy. And people need hope. People need hope. 46 towns and villages in Judah at that time were overthrown, and at least 185,000 troops encircled Jerusalem. So we can kind of relate to that just by the news that we watch, the various villages and the people, the countless people that seem that have been murdered or slain or whatever from every age group. And so that's happening there. And so we need to keep in mind what was written in Psalm 46, what Israel needed to focus on, and you and I need to focus on. In Psalm 46, 1 through 3, it says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Amen. Amen to that. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, Selah. Now, Selah means take time to take a moment to just think about that. That our refuge and strength is in God. He's our help in our present time, our present trouble. We are not to fear, right? We will not fear. Why? Because we have God on our side. God is with us. Even if we face death, even as the Ukrainians face death, if they have Christ in their heart, we don't have to fear that. We know where we're going. So even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, no matter how huge the trauma is, no matter how much the security of what we're used to is changed and decimated, we don't have to be afraid. It's easy said, because our flesh would naturally be afraid. And though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, we're not to be afraid. So we're to think about that. But how do we have that sense of security? How do we have that stance where we're not afraid? Because it's easy to get overwhelmed, especially, you know, if it becomes into a World War III issue and the threats of our own life and our own way of living and the threats around the world. That can be something that for Christians and for everybody, that can take us down in anxiety and not be prepared to stand as God would have us to in the strength of the Lord. The psalmist starts with two facts. Number one, in troublesome times, God alone is our refuge and strength, not God plus something else or someone else. God alone is our strength. We can stand confident in the power of God. We can stand confident in our Heavenly Father. We can stand confident in His love for us. We can stand confident that He's aware of all that we're going through. We can stand confident in His strength that He gives us and the counsel He gives us. And number two, God is not distant as the world might proclaim. God is a very present help. Like the Gideon ministry and Samaritan's Purse ministry and the Red Cross ministry and the humanitarian groups that are out there and the Christian churches that are out there in Ukraine. God is working through those organizations to touch people with the love of God. And God is at work. I wonder about through this tragedy, through this horrendous time in that country, I think about even those that are stripped of everything except the clothes on their back, how many look to God and say, God, I need you. God, I want to know you. How many Christians will the Holy Spirit lead to come around and intersect those lives and share the gospel of Christ? And so God is at work. God is doing his work in the lives of people who are especially looking toward him. And you and I as believers need to make sure that we are standing as his people. So God is not distant as the world might proclaim. God is a very present help. And with these two facts to depend on in the midst of uncertainty and chaos, we have no reason to fear. Now, it's easy said. It's easy to state from the pulpit, isn't it? But do you believe in your heart as a believer in Christ that God can give us a steady, secure calmness in our spirit, that he will actually remove fear and give us confidence in him? I believe that that's very much not only a possibility, but a reality in many believers who have set their focus on the Lord and have found resolve in him. Between what bad things we might physically be seeing and hearing about on the news and what bad things might be predicted or forecasted to us, like another world war, we can feel and experience the peace of God in our heart. And that's conflictive. That's an oxymoron. You think of the people that are seeing all the tragedies in Ukraine, all the realities of death all around them. And yet, Scripture says we can have a peace in our heart, even though everything's taken away. It's easy said, but it can be done by our focus and our relationship with God. It says the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. When everything seems like it's falling apart, when everything that is giving you security in life, as even just in where we live, like you were saying about our little town at Kalinga, I got to thinking, if our town was blown apart, if we saw our family, our friends, our family in Christ, our neighbors, dead on the side of the road, all the things that we identified with, that the buildings are down, far more than the earthquake. How devastating, how tragic, how deep that would reach our souls. And yet God is saying, you can have peace in your heart in the midst of it. We have to listen to him. We have to seek him. And we can have that, okay? God doesn't want us to be in fear. He doesn't want us to fear. He doesn't want us to worry. He doesn't want us to be overwhelmed by the circumstances in the world that we're living in. I don't want to parallel it to COVID, but when we were going through COVID, there was so much fear. It was almost paralyzing. And this prospect is even greater. It was right on the shirt tails of COVID came this war in Ukraine. And it has shaken the world. And God has shaken the world so that people look up to him. I'm not saying that he's making a full judgment on all the people. I'm saying that God, in his judgment, is working in a way to shake the securities, to draw people, not just in Ukraine, but around the world, to look to God. And that's an act of love. And we're called to be his vessels, to share his love, to share his word. God doesn't want us to fear or worry. He is our refuge and strength and help. In Psalm 46, 4 and 5, it says, there is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. Verse 4 paints a picture which is easy for us to miss. The city of God of Jerusalem, while it was a beautiful city, guess what? It didn't have its own running water through it. Water had to be transported to Jerusalem, just like it does today. It doesn't have a major water source. It has to come from somewhere else. Reminds us that our Most High God, who is sovereign and supreme, is present with us. The running water is a picture of the provision of God, but also the moving of the Spirit of God that calms our heart and souls. I'll talk a little bit more about that in just a moment. But God is sovereign, God is supreme, and God is with us. His presence is near. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is near you. Jesus said, God is right there working in your life, through your life. And for the non-believer, God is right there trying to get their attention. And for the believer, God is trying to get our attention, if need be, to be focused on him as God would have us to be his people, that much more in times like these. So no matter how bad things get, God's presence means he will help us. When we wake up to start a new day, we will experience God's great compassion, faithfulness, and love. I try to remember, I don't always remember, but this morning I remembered again. Thank you, Lord, for giving me another day to live. Because life is precious, and every day is a gift. And as much as we've heard that in times past, we should take that to heart. Every day is a gift. We just don't know when our time on earth is up. In Lamentations 3, 22 and 23, it says, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. God is compassionate. His compassion doesn't fail. He's right there with us. His compassion, his comfort, his presence with us calms our soul. In Psalm 46, 6 and 7, it says, the nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. It seems like that. The nations raged. We see the frailty of Europe right now. We see the frailty of our world. We see the hemispheres divided between the West and the East. We see all this political mess and threat, but God is right there with us. God knows what's going on in the kingdoms around us and on our own country. God is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. He's our strong tower. He's the one that we're called to run to. We can find our emotions running into the situations and allowing ourselves to be drawn into all the ugliness that we're seeing in the world. In essence, being just, I'm going to use this term, forgive me, flushed down the toilet, so to speak, in a focus where we're just drawn down into the muck and the mire of the stuff of this world, as opposed to being drawn to the presence of our compassionate, loving Heavenly Father. In verse 8, we're given an invitation to come behold the works of the Lord. It's part of being still and listening to God. It's part of saying, okay, we see what's going in the world, so we have a choice. We can, as believers in particular, we have a choice. We can look at all the horrific things that are happening and focus on that, and even be more subject to fear, rather than looking at the circumstances in the world around us and seeing what God might be doing in people's lives. You know what I've been doing watching the news when I watch it? I've been praying and I've been watching. Lord, I want to hear people refer to you. I want to hear people say God. I want to hear people say pray. I want to hear people pointing towards you. And little by little by little, and I mean little, I'm hearing people on the news referencing God. And I say, thank you, Lord. Because that's where our hope is in our God and in our Savior. The world raged in verse 6 regarding the nations is the same word used in verse 3 to describe the roar of the waters. The tempestuous roar of the waters is the rage. When the nations are agitated like the waves of the sea, God is still with his people. I wonder how many Christians that have migrated from Ukraine that have stood beside those, not only other Christians, but non-believers, and shared the love and comfort of God with them. Do you follow what I'm saying? You're one of my people, you're one of my vessels, you're my instrument that I've placed in this world, and as you go through this with people from your country, I want you to stand for me and love them and encourage them and comfort them and minister to them. And it's not just restricted to Ukrainians, it's all of us. We should be showing that love and kindness to all people, remind people that have no hope. God is with us. And if anything, we can say God is near. God is at the doorstep of your heart, and you need to ask Christ in your heart to be your Savior. Open up the door of your heart and receive Christ. We need to share the gospel like I shared last week. In verse 7, It says the Lord of hosts is with us. It's interesting that the heavenly host, the host of the armies, or the heavenly host of angels, the Lord of hosts, heavenly armies, are with us. I don't even have a word to describe it, but I think we would all fall on our faces in humbleness and awe before God if God opened up our eyes to see all the spiritual grace that he's poured out with angelic involvement in the world that we live in and in our own personal lives. If we could see the spiritual battle, but the power of God and the armies of God that he has sent to do his work. The Lord God Almighty has all the hosts of heaven ready to do his work. Verse 7 again says, the God of Jacob is our refuge. And that word refuge means fortress. He's the one that we can run to and find absolute security in. He's the one that the walls that are in Christ, in other words, when we run to him and we stand in him and we're secure in him, there is nothing that can threaten us because we are in him. Do you follow what I'm saying? Jesus even said, you may lose your life, but for those that believe in God, you can't lose your soul. You're saved forever. We have that security in the Lord. God is not only depicted as powerful, but also as an impenetrable fortress we can run to for safety. Aren't you glad? Really, in our own soul, as believers in Christ, no matter what happens, we can run to God as our fortress and our refuge and find true comfort and security in the midst of him. And when people see that security in us, they will note that, and we'll have opportunity to share why that security is seen. In Psalm 46, 8, and 9, it says, come and behold the works of the Lord who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in fire. Verse 8, we're given an invitation to come behold the works of the Lord. Look and see what God is doing. Again, I said it before and I'll say it again. Don't be drawn into all the ugliness, but look to see what God is doing and how he's going to orchestrate his work in all of this, and trust that God, who is holy, knows what he's doing, even if you don't understand why things are happening. He's holy. He knows what he's doing. We are not, we do not have the clarity, and that's not even the right word. We cannot see things from God's perspective. It's impossible. But we know that God is holy and just and loving, and we can trust in his hand and what he allows and what he doesn't allow. But more specifically, you and I are to stand strong and calm in him. Strong and calm in him. Behold means to perceive through sight, to peer, to spy out, to gaze upon, to observe fully. You know, if somebody runs out in front of a school bus, or I wouldn't want that to happen. Let's look in Ukraine. How many of the people in Ukraine have ran out in front of the tanks? The picture here is in Paleo Hebrew. The letter that represents behold, seek, look, focus on God. It looks like this. Hey, do I have your attention? That's the actual ancient Paleo-Hebrew symbol for behold. It's this. Wait, look, behold. Look at this. And we are to look at what God has for us. Behold means to perceive through sight, to peer, to spy out, to gaze intently upon, to observe fully. We are to come, run, or pursue, and gaze intently upon the works of the Lord from history or our own lifetime. We are to draw from the truth of God's word that in times past, that, you know, really things that we see now are not unparalleled to things in history. We can see terrible times in history, We can see God's hand in retrospect by what's recorded here. But God wants us to learn from that on how to deal with it now as well. How to be the people that he wants us to be. We're to take our eyes off the raging nations and chaos. I'm not saying be ignorant to it. I'm not saying not to be aware of it. I'm saying don't dive into it and allow yourself to be drawn down into the depths and the mire of the chaos. That's what we did with COVID. We got so overwhelmed with that that it paralyzed the church as well as many others. And God doesn't want us to live that way. He does not want that. We are to put our eyes on the Lord and what he's doing. Like I said, I've been watching the news to see how many newscasters will say the word God or the name of God or to pray or to direct that way. And I'm seeing little bits of that. I'm seeing the humanitarian and the Christian works within Ukraine and Poland and the different ways that God is working in and through his people to reach other people. We see the good works. I would rather focus on those good works than to focus on the atrocities that are just crushing to our soul. We can be aware of it because we need to pray. Our missionaries that we've posted on Facebook on our church page that are over there in Ukraine right now serving. They've chosen not to leave. They're there ministering food and meeting needs of people right there, right by Kiev. And they're serving. God is using them and continues to use them and continues to protect them. And I pray he's still protecting them today. But we know for sure that if for some reason they were to perish in this life because of the war in Ukraine, we know that they're absent from the body, present with the Lord. That's a promise. And it's far greater to be in heaven than to be here. But they are faithful in the midst of the conflict. And they're willing to stand in the fortress of God and in the comfort in their own souls of being where God wants them to be. Excuse me. So to be still. Did I lose my place here? Sorry about that. Change your focus. Deliberately seek out what God is doing or remember what he has done in the past. Change your focus. Start praying about the situation. Pray for God's intervention in Ukraine. Pray for God's protection of the people. Pray then that people will look for God stories, that people will share their stories of God has intervened in their lives during the midst of the war. Don't dwell on the evil things done. And again, look for what God is doing. In Psalm 46, 10 and 11 says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. To be still means to cast down or let fall. And as I explain this to you, I'll explain it with more clarity and application. But as I go through this next part of this message, you're going to go, what is he saying? And you'll understand in just a moment. But to be still means to cast down or let fall. It refers to the dropping of weapons. We are to be still. We're to cease fighting on our own, a battle we can't win. Hear me out. Stay with me. I'll explain it. The picture is of us opening our clenched fists, letting our hands fall to our sides, and we leave our worries to God. Now you're thinking about the fighters, the brave fighters of the population in Ukraine that are fighting for their country and their families, their freedom, their liberty, their faith, all these things. And you're thinking, well, you're not saying, Pastor, that they're supposed to drop their arms beside their side and stand there defenseless. And that's not what I'm saying. There's an inner core of what I'm talking about, and I'll explain that. Unclenching our fists is really referring to our individual hearts. It's the fact that we need to relinquish the war we may be fighting physically, emotionally, or spiritually to God. You see, there's two ways that I think that individuals could be engaged in that battle, that you and I might be engaged in a battle in our own lives. It's where we stand and our own strength and use all that we've got to fight the battle. maybe only to realize that all we've got is not enough to accomplish what needs to be done. But in the midst of the battle, that if we stand with a calmness in our heart and our soul that says, I'm doing what God wants me to do right now, but God has got me at peace in here, where I have relinquished all of my control to Him. Does that make sense? That you could be engaged in a real physical war, but still have a relinquished heart to God that says, God, I give it all to you. Because that really applies to our spiritual walk. We're going to have spiritual battles. We're going to have battles in our daily lives, right? We know all the dynamics of family and life and situations. But we have to be willing to say, look, as I stand for God and fight against the enemy of Satan himself, and the powers of darkness that come against us, and all the hatred that comes against us because we stand on the word and we're people of God, that instead of standing in our own strength, which we ought not to do, we're to stand in the power of God with the resolve to say, I'm at peace here to be able to do what God wants me to do out here. And it's the same in the war in Ukraine. When those that are fighting have the assurance that they've turned it all over to God and said, God, whatever you want, and in the meantime, I'm going to do whatever you call me to do. That's where the peace comes from. Because the anxiety often comes from our inability. But when we've given that over to the strong tower, our fortress, Jesus, there's security. And so you can be in the midst of a battle, midst of a war, spiritually or otherwise, in Ukraine or here in our own lives, and still have the assurance and the calmness of peace in our heart by putting our trust in God. The purpose of being still is so that we can know God. It's watching what God's going to do with the situation. It's turning it over to Him and trusting His power and then watching God do His work that we can step back in awe and say, wow, look what God did. Wow. Look at the power of God. It's the realization of coming to know God more personally by watching what He does. And I've already alluded to that through the Christian organizations that are working in Ukraine and what they're doing in other countries. But also that applies to our own daily walk and our own life situations. To know means to acknowledge and comprehend or to discover intimately. I want to discover Jesus more intimately. Do you? And the way we can do that is sometimes in the midst of the war, spiritually or physically or emotionally, is to relinquish and watch what God does. We're still to do what God calls us to do, be faithful to that, but know in our own soul and our own spirit that we've given it over to God and that we're watching, spiritually tuned in to watch what God is doing that we might know Him better. Again, the purpose of being still is to know we can know God, to be still, a calmness in our heart, say, I trust you, God, and I'm going to watch what you do. It's not enough just to know about God. We're called to know Him relationally. Verse 10 tells us the results of us being still. Right? Verse 10 tells us what the results of us being still will be. As we quiet our souls, as we reflect on God's position of power, we are in Christ. He is in us. He is Almighty God. We are living temples of God. We are vessels of God, called to be the people He wants us to be. As we quiet our souls, that's a directive, that's a choice. As we quiet our souls and reflect upon God's position of power, we will recognize His supremacy and inevitable triumph over the nations. Overall, God has the upper hand on all of it because He's sovereign. And from point A to point B, we may not understand, but we can understand one thing. We are called to be His people. Calm in our spirit, assured in His strength, confident in His power, and being the vessels He's called us to be. Until we are still and surrendered in our spirits before him, not fighting in our own strength or ways, not worried, not fearful. The reality of understanding his coming exaltation through the troublesome times or over the raging nations will not impact us. What is that saying? There is a spiritual focus in God that will guide us through warfare that will reveal who he is. When we're watching and relying on God, and as we go through this time in the world and in our own lives, God will reveal to us who he is. If we're not watching and focused on him, we're going to miss what he wants to reveal to us. I don't want to miss what God wants to show us. So God is calling to us to be still and to know him. Right? Amen? Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you for the patience of my brothers and sisters in Christ. I know that we're about 20 minutes over, but Father, really, it's not over. It's whatever the message is that you have that's important. And I pray, Father, please, that you have spoken to our hearts. I pray, Father, that you have given us some, I want to say encouragement or determination or resolve within our own spirit to say, Lord, I'm not going to let the things of this world unravel me. I'm going to choose to stand in you, secure, assured, and focused on you. I'm going to find joy in watching and seeing what you do in people's lives and the world around me, to see your hand. And I'm going to trust you to use me, each one of us, to be the vessels you want us to be, to carry hope and the love of Jesus to people who don't have it. I just pray that you honor this, help us to encourage each other, bless the invitation, and help us to walk away today saying, Lord, thank you for giving us the ability to totally let go and rely on you to take care of things and watch you do it. For we ask these things in Jesus' name, amen.